Dale asks. He is crouched across the small plateau from the rest of them, nose bleeding, knuckles raw from where he has been trying to fight the sphere.
This is the Darrow Sphere, Master Kinnaid says. I created it myself to help student training here at Stavkesh, and this is the only one. A student of mine several years ago called it Jedi's Bane, and I almost changed its name. I like that.
She looked up at the sky, smiling.
And like anything with two names, the sphere has its ambiguities.
She nods at where the sphere came to rest, and Lanry is not surprised to see it gone.
Where is it?
Dale asks.
There,
Kinnaid says.
Or perhaps not. Are you too trusting of your senses, Dalian Brock?
They're all I have.
A loaded hush falls over the breezy plateau, even the wind seeming to die down at Dale's words.
No,
Kinnaid whispers.
They're the very least of what you have. And so you can go last.
Go last for what?
Master Kinnaid ignores Dale and gestures Lanry forward instead. Lanry walks to her, and as she approaches, the master starts talking quietly.
Remember, the Force does not lie, although if you're out of balance, you can make lies from it. Feel the flow. Relish the balance.
She delves into her rucksack and brings out a blindfold, a nose clip, earplugs, and a mask. If I wear all those, Lanry protests, but Master Kinnaid cuts in.
Then you have to trust in the Force.
Taking a deep breath, Lanry nods. She puts them on, and it is like cutting herself off from the world. The blindfold gives perfect darkness. The earplugs mold to her ears and cut out all sound, leaving only her beating heart. The nose clip steals all smell. She can taste snow on the air, but the sphere... An impact on her leg, and she cries out, staggering to the left. She can hear no instruction from Master Kinnaid, and realizes this is intentional. Lanry tries to center herself, breathing long and deep, sensing the Force within her and being a part of it, balanced and level. She draws her sword and waits. A sting on her shoulder. She shrugs it off. Something moves past her face, close and quick. She reaches out and senses everyone else around her, and then spins on her left leg, crouching and lashing out with her sword. She feels the connection, and the impact travels up her arm. She rolls forward, then back onto her feet, holding her left hand up with fingers splayed, throwing a Force punch, sensing it strike the Darrow Sphere. Her heart is thumping, breathing increasing, and she feels the flow of blood and Force through her veins. It is ecstasy. The sphere impacts against her back and knocks her sprawling. The blindfold is torn from her eyes, the clip and plugs taken from her nose and ears. Input floods her senses, and the pain kicks in.
Not bad, Master Kinnaid says. Although you did let pride get the better of you. Never assume the danger is gone unless you know for sure.
Lanry nods and sits up. The other students are all looking at the Jedi Master, and the sphere floating at her shoulder, pulsing, shifting. All but Dale. He is looking at Lanry, and she cannot quite read the expression on his face. Resignation? Determination?
Very well,
Master Kinnaid says, hand stroking accumulated snow from her vestigial horns.
Next.
They all try, and then there is Dale. Lanry watches him having the blindfold fitted and the earplugs and the nose clip. He stands still and patient while Master Kinnaid does so, and she cannot sense any tension or displeasure in him. Though he has seen each journeyer suffer to some extent at the mercy of the Darrow Sphere, he seems calm. She does not probe. That would be wrong to try to touch his mind before such a test. But he exudes confidence. Kinnaid steps back and glances at Lanry, and then says,
Begin.
Dale ducks left and right, scampers across the ground, tilts his head as if listening. But it is all a show. The sphere drifts in slowly and then powers into his left ankle. He does not see or sense it coming. Its movement is almost smug, and Lannery wonders how it knew that Dale was faking everything. He hits the ground, rolls, and she sees him pulling the blaster from his jacket. "Dale!" she breathes. He starts shooting. His shots are wild and aimless, and Lannery and the others hit the ground, force-shielding themselves as stone splinters and erupts. Falling snow sizzles to steam. Someone screams. She feels heat and pain across her hand and arm. Dale shouts and drops the blaster. Lannery can see its glow from where it has been superheated, and then Master Kinnaid twists her clawed hand in Dale's direction. He rises and is immediately thrown back, spinning, fading from view in wafts of snowflakes. For a moment, she thinks the Master has thrown Dale too far, and that he will plummet over the parapet, falling 300 meters to find his end on one of the rooftops below. Then he strikes the ground with a heavy thud. As she reaches for Dale with her mind, his fall into unconsciousness becomes, for a moment, her own. Chapter 8. The Memory of Pain.
A Jedi needs nothing but confidence and comfort in the Force. Clothes for warmth, a ship to travel in, food for energy, water to slake thirst, a sword to stab, a blaster to shoot. All these are luxuries. The Force is everything, and without it, we are nothing.
Master Shalmar, A Life in Balance, 7538 TYA, Thoyor Arrival. Lannery relaxed in her reclined flight seat. She had plotted the fastest course she could from Calamar to Nox, and now she was eager to see if Ironholgs could download more information from the damaged memory cell. Nox was a big planet, and of its almost 90 domed manufacturing cities, almost half might conceivably be capable of taking on a commission for the Gree device. Lannery had no doubt that the specific expertise required would reduce that number to a mere two or three,